You're all my friends. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sherrod. Love you. Amen. Man, what a motorcycle he's got. Did you all not know he had a motorcycle?
Which one?
You didn't know that? That's good stuff. Y'all doing okay tonight? You know, I was thinking about the first time I came here, I told you about the chicken earlier today. And then a lasting memory and Sim the Indian.
Yeah.
Walk to glory. Walk to glory. How many know Sim the Indian was? Is he still alive?
No, he passed away about 5 years ago.
Did he? Wow. That guy, I tell you what, he couldn't carry a tune very far. But boy, I just loved listening to him sing. Man, what a joy. And how, you all remember him?
He used to sing, "I saw a blind man, I said to you, I feel sorry for you." And then he said something about how we swear.
How about this? "Born again has really made a change in me."
Yeah,
born again, just like Jesus said. Good stuff. Amen? Right, I have three messages tonight. So Pastor Shearer said that I had him out of time. I figured out if I have three messages, maybe I get triple the amount of time. Amen? So I'm so... Yeah. I can keep preaching whether or not you're sitting here listening, right? You all may dismiss.
Tell them what your pastor said.
What's that?
Tell them what your pastor said to that missionary. He says, "How much time do I have?"
Yeah, Sunday morning was it. Sunday morning had to be done. If you're not done, Pastor Dawson would get up and stop you. He would. He would. Now, Sunday nights, he was a lot more freer on that. But I tell you what, in fact, I think he'd let the Sunday night service go about 3 hours. And, but not tonight. God is so good.
Amen.
But
God is
good. I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7. God is good. I enjoyed that trumpet.
Yeah.
My youngest son played the trumpet. I'm trying to get him to continue to play. But it's at the age you got to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And but my oldest boy played the trombone. I say play. I don't like to say that, but that's what they did. And I love hearing the brass instruments, don't you?
Amen.
I encourage you. Appreciate you see that. How many guys in the military? Raise your hand if you would, please. Fellows, appreciate you. Hey, appreciate you being there with your wives. I have five retired military fellows in our church, and they all. What they tell me is that the most difficult thing on a marriage. Two most difficult professions. You ready? One is military. Second is driving a truck. They said both of them because you're not home. And a lot of things to take care of when you get back. And one of my favorite trips I ever took, my wife and I were asked to go preach a revival in Yokota, Japan. And Pastor Warren Webster, and he was my youth pastor when I was called to preach. And he had me over there to preach. And we had a time for 6 days. I mean, we just had a time. What a great church. Now one of his converts and young men called to preach under his ministry, Brother McKittrick, is back over there pastoring that work. And Brother Webster's been in heaven a long time. And I got to pray about this. I got a guy in our church, you military guys and wives, you help me. Now don't go publishing it on Facebook. Okay? How many will do that for me? Don't publish it on Facebook. His name's Kyle. Her name's Christina. And he's military. He went over there, and his job was to lead a team that will go detect and find the IEDs. That was his job. And he went back, I think he was over there 8 years, different places. The last tour was in Jordan, but before that it was in Afghanistan. And anyway, but boy, just got saved and just, you know, been married 7 years, but he's been away from home 4 of those years. As soon as he got married, the next 8 months he was gone. And some of y'all can relate to that. But this couple just newly saved and really going through a struggle, and I disciple him on Tuesday mornings and at 6, and we'll meet up and just pray for them if you would. Asking God to restore the trust in their marriage, and And you all can understand that. It's good to see folks together as a family. Amen? All right. I'm going to talk to you on something. I really wanted to preach tonight. I had two messages that I was going to really have a lot of fun preaching. But tonight, I want to take you to the book of Matthew chapter 7. When you get there, give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And then as the preacher said, if you don't know where Matthew's at, just look intelligently on the page that you're on. Amen? And we'll all think it's good. You know, I come to you as a pastor tonight. The other two sermons I would preach are a little more rah-rah, but tonight I come to you with a heavy heart. You know, I don't want the people that attend my church to live in bitterness.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want them to. I just, I got a whole message I preached on that, but I don't want them to live there. And second, I don't want folks to run around the rest of their lives worrying about everybody else.
Praise God.
I heard a preacher say one time, the easiest way to go blind is to take your eyes off Jesus and place them on others and self.
Yeah.
Amen? Easiest way to go blind spiritually in the Christian life. So you're in Matthew chapter number 7, if you would please. I want to read for you five verses, and you're going to wonder where we're going with it, but I think it'll make itself clear about 50 minutes from now. I joke like that all the time at our church, and it means nothing, all right? We'll get done in good short order, because I heard there's food. Amen. Verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh what, church, help me?
Jesus.
And he that seeketh, and him that knocketh, it shall be. Now, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Now this verse 11 is a transition here. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Now pay very close attention to our text in verse number 12. Therefore, all things, and please underline this if you're in the habit of doing so, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I want to preach a message tonight with this title, Whatsoever Ye Would. Father, please bless the message tonight, I beg you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I pray that you would meet every need that's in this room tonight. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Mrs. Shearer. Thank you for the ministry. I thank you for this great and wonderful church, Lord, that has sent out missionaries and been a part of missions work, Lord, now for 3 decades. Father, I pray that you would bless, Lord, this service tonight. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I have no desire that folks would leave tonight saying that was a good sermon. But I do desire, Lord, tonight that we'd all walk away saying that God spoke to our hearts. Lord, please, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm reminded of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. If you're not familiar, you probably are, but not familiar with him. A great preacher in the 1800s. His sermons were published. He pastored the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. When he was 19 years of age, 5,000 people would come hear him preach every Sunday. The church became so popular, they would have to hand out tickets. You could get Sunday morning or Sunday night tickets, but oftentimes you couldn't attend the same service. Didn't have to buy them. They were given out, but people just wanted to hear him preach. And it was said one time that a man went to hear a great lawyer on Saturday night. And they went and heard this lawyer, and they came back to the motel that night, and the friends asked, so what did you think? And he said, wow, oh, what a speaker. So what are you going to do tomorrow? He says, tomorrow I got a ticket, I'm going to go hear Spurgeon. And he went and heard Charles Haddon Spurgeon the next day, and they came back and said, well, how would you compare the two? He said, well, hearing Charles Haddon Spurgeon, my response is this, Oh, what a Savior.
Amen.
Oh, what a Savior. The Prince of Preachers making much of Jesus Christ tonight. And let's do that this evening. I want you to notice this great prayer passage in verses 7 through 11. I want you to notice the verses 7 and 8 tonight. You'll find the great passage of asking and receiving. The Lord wants us to ask Him in prayer. Amen? Dr. John R. Rice wrote a book, Asking and Receiving. My son, our son, Benjamin, our youngest, he's 15, he is an asker. He will ask, and by the way, hard worker, really. I'm not just saying that because he's my son, but he's very motivated. He's a hard worker. He wants to get after it. But he's not afraid to ask and 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 ask. And lots of times he asks in such a nice way, after a while you just give it to him. Amen? You know? It's that way. You girls get away with that a lot better than us guys do, right? You could warm up to dad. The boys look at their dad and dad says, go to work. The girls look at dad and he opens up his pocketbook. They know how to ask. And that's so important. Asking and receiving. Then I want you to notice here, not only is there asking and receiving, but secondly, there is seeking and finding. Amen? Hey, the Lord wants us to seek His face. Amen? The Lord wants us, the Bible says, early will I seek Thee. How powerful that is. And then the Bible says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And you know, when we get these verbs, asking and seeking and knocking, it just means continual. Continual. The Lord wants us to knock and it shall be opened unto you. You get that? Just knock. Hey, whatever prayer request you have that you put on the shelf, it needs to be dusted off and you need to keep knocking. Amen? And keep seeking God. Now, I want you to notice that then this passage of Scripture transitions into the goodness of God. I want you to notice verse number 9. The Bible says, or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Did you all hear what happened in Missoula this past year? It was in the papers. Did you all hear that a child asked his dad, says, Dad, I would like to have a fish for Christmas. And he opened up the present that morning and out jumped a rattlesnake. Did you hear about that? Did you hear the same story? It was like, you know, the horror of Christmas. Another child says, Dad, I'd like some bread. I'd like some fresh bread for Christmas dinner. And so they all got ready for Christmas dinner and got around the table, and God had rocks on the table for everybody to eat. Don't hear about that. You know why you didn't hear about it? It didn't happen. Because the Bible says that even an evil father, even an unsaved father, isn't going to give his child a bad gift. They don't want to be good to him. How many believe God's good? Amen? I do. I believe God's good. And if our earthly fathers want to give us good gifts, us as God's children, God wants so much more to be good to us. You get it? God wants us to ask and receive. He wants us to seek and find. He wants us to knock and it shall be opened. Will God answer my prayer? Hey, listen, if our earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more shall our heavenly Father? Amen? Amen. I got a great gift sitting here. Second row right there. Amen. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. Amen. Psalms 127, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is God's reward. And so much more. We have a great God, don't we? But I want you to notice verse number 12 is our text tonight. The Bible says, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know what God's saying here? God is saying, I want you, pay very close attention. Don't miss it tonight. This is about as simple as it gets. This will help us tonight. God says, I want you to ask yourself how you want to be treated. I could ask you tonight to close your eyes And imagine, how do I want to be treated? How do I want my husband to treat me? Pedicures. Manicure, amen? Oh, I want to go get my hair done. Shopping money. I thought maybe I'd hear an amen or something, or a hanky waving. How do I want my wife to treat? Oh boy, I walk in the door, I want a kiss. That's what I want. Okay, so is that okay? Amen? That's what I want when I walk in the door. All right, and I'll kiss, and then I walk over, and I smell dinner. Boy, I tell you what, that's good stuff, amen? The Bible says, I want you to ask yourself how ye want men to treat you. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. But here's the interesting part. God says, I want you to ask yourself that question, not so you can tell others how to treat you. By the way, we have enough of that in our country. Yeah. Well, this is what I deserve, and this is how I want to be treated, and we got to be careful how we're going to treat a certain sect of the population, blah, 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 because we all want our rights. By the way, I want bald people rights. I think anytime I go outside, somebody ought to be there at the door and handing me an umbrella or a hat. Don't you? Don't you? I'm going to ask Bernie Sanders. Maybe he'll put it into law. By the way, I was going to go listen to Bernie Sanders the other day in Missoula. Pastor Shear, I was going to go hear him. Thousands of people were there. The problem is I had to work. You all get that if you think about it long enough, all right? But anyway, try to be funny. All right, now, so he says, I want you to ask yourself that question, not so that you can tell others how to treat you, but I want you to ask yourself whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, so that you will know how to treat others. You've heard it. Others, yes, Lord, others. Let this my motto be, that I might live for others, Lord, that I might live like Thee. And what I hear often is this, Pastor, I don't want to know how to treat others. I had a husband and wife sitting in my office not too long ago, and they both, for a period of time, I gave them the moratorium, okay? You can't say anything that happened to you past a year ago. Let's just deal with the here and now. And for 1 hour, almost just about an hour, they told each other how they wanted to be treated. And they were demanding that they be treated that way. You know what? The person that says, I don't want to know how to treat others. I want others, and I want to tell them how to treat me. God says that you and I are to be concerned about treating others right, and we're to allow God to take care of the rest. See, preacher, how can this help? Think for a moment. This is a note to self. Ready? This does not guarantee that we will be treated correctly. Just because you treat your wife right doesn't mean she's going to treat you right. Just because you treat your husband right doesn't guarantee... Now listen, eventually we should wake up. But it does not guarantee that. Just because a young person treats their parents right does not mean that they will be treated right and vice versa. But my friend, it does guarantee that we will be right with God and that we will have a clear conscience before our Creator. Please get that. It gives, when we treat others the way that we desire to be treated, it gives God good soil to work with. You see, in the Bible says, you ever talk to somebody and it's like they're just not receiving the Word of God? Can I tell you why? There's not good soil. That they may have some thorns in their heart. They may have some rocks in their heart. There's some of those things have to be removed so they can receive the Word of God. And when you and I decide that we're going to treat others like we desire to be treated, the Bible says that we are giving God good soil in our heart to work with. Amen. That's so important. The Bible called, now not the Bible, but mankind has called verse number 12. Anybody know what mankind has called that verse? The golden rule. The golden rule. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Watch this. Here's what that means. That means, rather than judge others, pray for them. You know, if you're not careful being in a good church like this, you could run around and you could have an opinion on how everybody else ought to live their life. I preached a whole sermon. You ready? Here was the title about 8 years ago. Ready for the title? Shut up. That's the title. By the way, church people love most of it. You know, hey, listen, we got an opinion on everybody ought to do everything. Listen, friend, don't, rather than judge others, pray for them. Hey, rather than criticize others, pray for them. How many of you here have little children? Oh, God bless you. God bless you. How many here are married? You married? You know, can I be honest with you? Marriage, by the way, God tells us how to have a good marriage, right? Let me put it this way. God tells us our responsibility in marriage. Watch this. You ever feel like you're in marriage, though, and you're there, and it seems like the whole time you're in marriage, you're like 0-2 in a baseball game? No balls, two strikes. And the next pitch, you're just trying to make contact? Yeah, hey, fellas, how do you do this? If I walk over there, can I use this? All right, what should I do? Just like that? All right. There you go.
Is that it?
Yeah. Hey, fellas, when your wife looks at you and she says, okay, which pair of shoes? And she holds her foot up so you can see the one. And then she holds... How many guys have ever had your wife do this to you? Ooh, that's a balancing act. Not bad for 95. Hey, how many have ever had your wife do that? You the only one? Man, ladies, put your husbands to the test. You know what? It doesn't matter which one I choose. I'm just choosing the one that she's choosing not to wear. Because if I say that one, I guess she thinks I don't have good taste. She's going to pick the other one. It's just the way it is. How many ladies? You know what I'm talking about. It's just the way it is. Hey, listen. But the Bible says that you and I, we have a responsibility to fill, and that's to treat others right. You know, you see people with children. It bothers me in our church. I just tell people, if you don't have children, don't tell everybody else how to raise theirs. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Hey, when you have, you know, you have kids that are junior age, don't tell everybody how to run their teenagers. That was kind of good preaching. Hey, I told the man that teaches our teenage class, when he has a teenage daughter now, before that, I said, listen, when you teach that teenage class and you end up dealing with parents, don't tell them like you're the authority. Here's what you ought to do. You ought to say, you know what the Bible says? Do you know what preacher said? Or do you know what that evangelist said that came through town? I mean, live in the wisdom of others, amen? But don't judge them. We got some folks in our church right now, and they've made some decisions that, well, I just don't know if they are the best decision. But listen, friend, my job's not to criticize them. My job as their preacher is to pray for them. Amen, that's my job. I need to treat them how I want to be treated. Now, have you ever had your children do something that you were not pleased with? Let me ask you. Were you embarrassed? Were you mad? All those things go through you, right? Let me ask you a question, though. How did you want to be treated in that situation? In our church, it's kind of the running joke. How many of you have a child? Now, I'm not asking you. It's at our church, I would say, how many of you had a child that's been bit in the nursery? How many of you have a child that bit somebody else's child in the nursery? It's amazing to me how somebody will make a passing judgment on an entire family by how somebody's kid acts in the nursery. I'm like, really? I mean, come on. You know, but we need to do that. We need to treat others. You say, how should you treat your wife the way you want to be treated? With respect. Amen. With love. With understanding. Amen. Come on, ladies, help me out tonight. With understanding. Hey, ladies, how should you treat your husband the way that you want to be treated? Amen? Now, I know there's differences, guys and girls, and I understand all that. But everybody wants to be treated with honor. Everybody wants to be trusted. Everybody wants to be loved. Amen? Well, preacher, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. No, don't do what you want to do. What we need to do is, we need to do Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. I'd like you to notice, if you would, please, several things in the Scriptures tonight. Take your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter number 4. Let me give you four things this evening that I know that you already know them. But I want you to consider it. You see, if we're not careful tonight, we'll get to a place where instead of being good to people, we become critical of people. Instead of praying for people, we become judgmental of people. And listen, friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live under that. By the guy that came to our church, and he's been in our church off and on for 18 years now, and he's left our church several times, and he'll come back. And by the way, the doors swing both ways. Come on home.
Amen.
Come on home, amen. I tell people at our church, somebody comes back home, don't say, "Well, where you been?"
Amen.
Say, "Man, good to see you, brother. Good to see you, sister." And don't ask him, "Well, is everything okay?" No, just welcome him back. But this guy, two out of the three times he's left, he's come up to me at an invitation. And here's what he said to me, Pastor Shearer. He said, "Preacher." So I'll come down and I'll walk down there to meet him. And I said, "Hello, brother, man. It's good to see you." He said, "Preacher, I just, I want to apologize to you." I said, "Well, you don't owe me an apology." "Oh, yes, I do." I said, "Well, you don't owe me an apology. Just get it right with the Lord and we're good." He said, "Preacher, but you don't know what I said about you." Who wants to hear that? I don't want to hear that. "Well, preacher, let me tell you what I said about you." I said, I don't need to know. He said, "Yeah, preacher, but most of it wasn't even true." Now what do I do? You know, now I get him in a headlock, you know, and give him a noogie on the head. You know, what do you do? And he said the first time, and I just said, "Lord, God bless this man. And Lord, I pray that you'd forgive him." And amen. To me, that's between him and the Lord, not between him and me.
Right.
But the second time he came back, and he did the same thing about 3 years later, exact same thing. "Preacher, pray for me." I said, "What can I pray with you about?" He says, "I want to ask you to forgive me for all the things I said about you. And preacher, most of them weren't true." And I looked at him and I said, we're looking at this. I said, "How would you want to be treated if it was me? If we were a reversed order? How would you want to be treated in that instance?" So what I did was, I just treated the man with respect. Amen? Love, prayed for him. But he was so consumed, I said, "You know what? If you really want to get right," because it isn't a matter of being right with me. I said, we're good. I'm glad you're here. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, you live long enough, people are going to hurt you. You're going to hurt people. We don't want to do it, but it happens in life. So I want to, but I said, the problem is your conscience before God. I said, "Why don't you go back and tell all the people that you told the lies about me, why don't you go back and tell them they were lies?"
Yes.
I said, "Because if you do that, then you'll get a clear conscience."
Yep.
He looked at me and he said, "That's a lot of people." You know what? That's just, you know, we had a bonding time right there. You know what I mean? Hey. Listen, what do you do? By the way, he left our church. He's back again. I'm glad he's in our church. Amen? I'm glad he is. But you got to treat people. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says there, look if you would, please, this famous passage. The Bible says this in verse number 32. There's so much here talking about not giving place to the devil. In verse number 27, let him that stole steal no more. Amen. And then the Bible says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? With all malice. You know what that means? That means you and I, we can put those things away. You know what the easiest way to not lie is? Just tell the truth. It's almost impossible not to lie. But if you decide that I'm just going to tell the truth, you don't have to worry about not lying. You see, when our boys were little, we'd tell them, if it's not yours, don't touch it. If it's not yours, don't touch it. How do I stop stealing? Don't worry about stop stealing. Just don't touch what isn't yours. Amen? It's just so easy. And the Bible says, go ahead and put those things away. And look what the Bible says. The replacement is what we have a hard time with. And be ye what?
Kind.
One to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another.
Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Listen, it doesn't matter how strong your muscles are. It doesn't matter how much you can bench press. Listen, friend, this is the heavy lifting in life right here. The heavy lifting is being kind and being tender-hearted and actually getting to the place where we forgive. Why? Not because they deserve it, but because God has forgiven us. Amen? That's called the law of kindness. How should I treat others? Kindly. I end my radio broadcast. Had a radio broadcast, thankful to the Lord, for the past 14, almost 15 years. And I end it just the way that I heard one of my heroes, he used to hand to his broadcast. I thought it was an original with him. It wasn't. He got it from somebody else. But I end the broadcast every week with this statement: be good to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. You know, we've had people show up at our church just because of that statement. Because everybody is having a hard time. So be kind to people. You know, sometimes you'll get in this race and you'll get busy. And how many here are involved in ministry in some way, shape, or form? You know, I tell our people, it's interesting. There'll be a ministry where, yeah, I have ministries where I am subservient to other people in our church. I drive a bus. And because I drive that bus, I have some fellows that are getting their CDLs, hoping to maybe begin to do that because they want part of the blessing. But now, so I have to write out and make sure I report to my assistant pastor to let him know that I got everything done that I need to get done safely. Amen. Well, whenever you have all that's, there could be a lot of friction. Amen? We just have to decide that, you know what, we're going to be good to each other. We're going to be kind. And if you're not careful, pretty soon you'll see everybody being busy and you become frustrated because maybe they're not responding to your kindness the way that you want them to. Have you ever been kind to somebody and you know what? They didn't respond the way that you desire them to. So you just, oh, forget being kind. I'll go back to being a grouch. At least he noticed then. You know, I give this illustration. My son Dylan, our oldest son, he is just turned 17. And Dylan, pretty good athlete. He loves to run. Pastor Shearer, he loves to run. He 2 years ago, he didn't train for the 10K. Didn't even train for it. Went out and ran it in 45 minutes. Wow. Didn't even train for it. This year, he decided, Dad, I'm going to run in the trifecta, the Riverbank Run trifecta. So look at that. There are 2,000 people who run in these races. There are only 132 of them that run in the trifecta. What that means is you got to run a 10K, then you walk back over across the bridge, and then you get in the line with everybody that's run the 5K, and then you go back across the bridge, which is almost a mile, and you get back over there, and you run the one mile timed run. By the way, he ran the 10K 2 minutes faster than he did the year before. Just, you know, he likes to run. I don't understand it. If I'm not chasing someone or something, I don't want to run. Amen? There's an elk over there. Okay, let's go get him. Amen? Let's run for the pleasure of it. Really? But he loves it. Good at it. Happy for him. But this year, my wife and I, we're down there, Brother Rick, and we're down there, and we're waiting for our son to cross the finish line. And we're waiting, but all of a sudden he started to come early. And so we're excited. You always know Dylan. He's got either red shorts and yellow shirt or yellow shorts and red shirt. Always that combination. And here he comes running. And he's running and he's booking, trying to, you know, and he's doing great. We're like, wow, this is awesome. And so she's got the camera out and I got my cell phone out and I'm videoing it. Man, this is so cool. He crosses the finish line. But remember, he's got two more races to run. So he crosses the finish line, and he's supposed to keep going, and they're going to give him water, and they're going to give him this and that. You know, he doesn't, none of that, man. He goes underneath the rope. He just goes over there like this. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you are that way, and you didn't even run? You know what I'm talking about? And he's like that. Well, here's me. I'm excited. Way to go, son! And I'm videoing the whole, way to go! He's over there like this. Hey, how you feeling, son? And he looks at me like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Hey, you know what? Within a couple minutes, man, he was glad to talk to us. But man, sometimes when you're in the midst of the battle, amen? Listen, treat people kind. But don't get wrapped up in how they respond back to you.
Amen. Right. That's good.
Don't get... People in this church are busy.
Well, I tell you what, Brother Commodore.
Did I have to say that right? I always want to say Commando. Now that's going to be in my head the rest of the message. Brother Commander, you know, hey, listen, I'm sure he's a busy guy. But he didn't say hi to me. In fact, I went to look at him and he just kind of shook my hand. Hello, good to see you. He can't go. Why? He's going somewhere, man. He's in the race.
Amen.
He's in the race. Amen.
Well, if you don't smile, I don't think I'll come back next week.
Listen, if you're going to live that way, you're going to visit a lot of churches in the next year. Somebody said, well, preacher, we're just looking for a church where we can be fed. You're not where I come from. You know, preacher's supposed to feed, but you're supposed to eat every day. And so I'm just looking for that church. That I said, you're looking for the perfect church. He said, we're just looking for something like that. I said, well, if you find the perfect church, don't join. Because it won't be perfect anymore. You know, like Mark Rogers said, if I'm smiling, you can't get mad at me. But I said, you know what the fact is, sir? I said, if it was a perfect church, I couldn't pastor it. Preacher, I don't know how many times you got such a good pastor. You got such a good pastor. I don't know how many times I've been so busy, preacher, and our church people have tried to treat, just be good to me, but I'm just so busy going, I forgot I even talked to them. Hey, listen, you just keep being kind. Amen? You just keep being good. It's called the law of kindness. Then notice next, if you would, please. I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 3. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. What does that mean, man? Be kind. Who doesn't want to be treated kindly? Does anybody here want people to be mean to them? We have a gentleman I love and respect a lot, but he is never happy. You know, how are you happy in Jesus? Are you happy? Man, we just smile. It kind of gives off the indication that maybe you're okay. Amen? But you know, just be kind. And then I want you to notice here, 1 John chapter 3, if you would, please. You ready? Let's read it together. In verse number 13 and 14, the Bible says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to be loved? Do y'all like to be loved? Now, everybody experiences that a little differently, right? No doubt about it. Amen. Like the old farmer said, preacher said, you love your wife? You said, I love her. She said, I don't think he does. He, woman, I love you. Preacher said, why don't you tell her? Well, preacher, I told her 40 years ago at the altar I loved her. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. You know what that lady was? That was a lady that needed to hear it. Amen. Needed to hear it. Amen. The Bible says, love the brethren. Hey, what makes your wife feel like she's loved? Is it time together? Amen. Hey, is it weekly flowers? All right, I'm losing you. All right. Amen. Hey, what is it? Is it chocolate? Ladies, help us out here. Amen. There you go. Come on. You know, I mean, find out what it is and love them. Find out what makes him say, man, my wife loves me. Amen. I don't know about you. When I come home and there's a good meal waiting for me, I feel loved. Now, my wife cooks spinach for me. I know that she cares about my bodily, that I'm healthy, but I don't feel loved. Amen? Now, I smell liver and onions. Now, I know some people like that. My mom and my dad, they like it. But I come in, I think, why? Why would you do this to our house? My wife has never made them for. You know what? But when she cooks that meal, well, I tell you, I feel loved. Amen? When I see her care for my children, our children, I feel loved. And love the brethren. Find out what. Hey, listen, everybody here ought to know what their spouse needs to feel loved. God says, that's the way I want you to treat them. Amen.
Fellow, preacher, I'm just not the loving kind.
Hey, listen and get right with God.
Yeah.
Get right with God. God says, be ye kind. He says, be ye tender-hearted. God says, be forgiving. I'm amazed at how many people are holding yesterday's breakfast over one another. Come on. I mean, we gotta love each other. I hope all of you know, hey, what your preacher and his wife like to do. Amen? Oh, man, let them know you love them. That's good preaching where I come from. Amen? Let them know. Hey, listen. Can I give you a tidbit here? He didn't ask. Amen? And I wouldn't ask. But listen, keep his encourager encouraged. You know, Mrs. Shear is one of the most wonderful Christians I've ever met.
That's right.
I'm just being honest with you. You ask my wife, one of the most wonderful Christians I've ever met is Marcia Shear.
That's right.
By the way, she's still a wonderful Christian.
That's right.
She makes my wife and I smile. Amen? Hey, find out what makes her happy. Listen, if you don't want your preacher to preach a 7-month series on hell, keep her encouraged. I'm serious. Keep her encouraged. Hey, man, spend some time with her and whatever. I don't know what she likes. Pastor Shearer knows what she likes. But be a blessing to her. Amen? It encourages me when the people of our church encourage my wife. Amen? Amen. Don't hold them up on a pedestal and just so you can knock them off. And then find out how to love them and do that with each other. Love the brethren. Be kind. And then look, take your Bibles to Galatians 6, if you would, please. Galatians chapter number 6. Some other time we'll preach the rah-rah sermon. Amen? But you know, this has just been so vital. Because us Christians treating each other right, I think it's one of the most powerful, powerful things that we can do as Christians. Amen? The Bible says this. Galatians 6:10. Ready? The Bible will read verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially who? Them who are of the household of faith. You know what the Bible says? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If ye what? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, I think the saying is sadly true. Sometimes we Christians are the only people that shoot their own wounded. Let me tell you a story. I have a very good friend of mine. By the way, sin will always take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. Lester Roloff was right. But I have a dear friend who is now a pastor and previously was an evangelist. Very interesting thing happened. He was saved as a young man. But he was saved, strapping athlete when he was in college, and I played college football with him. He was 6'4", 275 pounds. If you know anything about athletics, he could run a 4.65 40. The guy was just an athlete. I mean, just amazing. But he had dyslexia. How many know what dyslexia is? You kind of look at the letters, and there's different types of it. They're backwards. You read them a different way. And he is dyslexic. Well, people would just pass him because he was a good athlete, and teachers didn't know how to deal with him. They just thought he was stupid. Well, he isn't stupid. He's got a lot of wisdom, but the book learning didn't come easy to him. Well, he walked away from God. He got bitter and shouldn't have. That's on him. But he got bitter at the Lord. And he just walked away. And he became a wicked lifestyle. And he did all that. And one day, he attended Faith Baptist Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Dr. Hiles was up preaching, "A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again." And Don Noonan, one of my best friends in the world, walked in the back of the auditorium. He had a permanent, a man with a permanent hair. You know, I'm not talking about permanent hair. I'm talking about a perm. You know what I mean? Curly hair, all gel curled back and about down to here. It had this little skinny little mustache on there. Had Gucci pants on. How many of you remember the old Gucci pants? I'm dating myself. The old Gucci pants, you know. The typical 1980s, early 90s, just worldly guy. He walked in, he heard that message, he came forward and he got right with God.
Amen.
And you know what happened? Right after that, the Lord set down his heart. He got on fire for souls. And you know what? there were some Christians who had been saved a long time that were just, I mean, they were so dry, they'd burn well. By the way, I don't mean as a Christian, it's just a fact of life. I mean, just dead, never told anybody about Jesus, didn't get it. You know what I mean? They became very, very critical. Who does he think he is? These were people who said they prayed for him to get right with God. Now he's on fire for souls, and people don't know what to do. Well, he shouldn't do that, and he shouldn't be bringing all these people to blah, 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 blah. And he came to me one time. He said, bro, I'm hurting. He said, when I was in the world, we had each other's back. And I come to church, and people are stabbing me in the back. By the way, that ought not be in the house of God. And we ought to love each other. Hey, I ask our people all the time, how many of you ever had a bad day? Any of you ever had a bad day? Let me see your hands. Have you ever had a bad week?
Bad life.
Don't you start preaching my sermon, buddy. How many of you ever had a bad month? Bad year? Some of you just got a bad life. That's where I was going with it, all right? This guy's trouble. I'm going to start praying for you, Pastor Shearer. All right. Hey, no, it's good. He's thinking right. But listen, we go through these periods of time. How about not judging them? How about trying to say, you know, I'm going to pray for them. We got some families in our church right now. Lady going through terminal cancer. Her husband is taking care of her. We have a young child, a little baby in our church right now whose mom had some severe illnesses when she was a girl. Very good girl, clean girl, but she had some severe illnesses and her immune system is really shot. And this little baby's born, and this little baby has just a terrible, has had a rash for the past, I don't know, is it 5 months, honey? Just, literally his whole body is just covered in a flaking rash. And you know what? Hey, listen. We need to be good to everybody. Because everybody's having a hard time. Sometimes you come in the room, even your kids, you go to talk to them, and they're kind of like, how many of you ever had your kids just kind of ignore you? You ever think that maybe they're having a bad, hard time too? The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye what? Love one another. And friend, love is found when the chips are down. When the times are hard. When the storms are rough. Amen? When the winds are blowing. When the rain is coming. When the sea is rising. That's when we need to show our love. That's when it needs to come through so very clear. Listen, friend, there is a fulfillment that comes in doing what we know is right. I close with this. I don't think I've ever told this story here before. And when I was in Bible college, there was a young man there that I played on the college basketball team with. And he was very worldly. Very worldly, just kind of blatant about it. And one day, there were some fellas at the college there. They went out and they consumed alcohol. They came back to the dormitory that night. And it was very obvious what had happened. And the dorm soup, who was a godly young man, just a godly young man, he called the chancellor of the college. By the way, that's what he should have done. And he called the dean of men. And they went over there and they tried to help these guys. They really did. But then when it came time, by the way, out of the five of them, three of them, their dads were preachers. One of them was a young man who grew up in not only the college, but also the high school academy associated with the college, and also the grade school, junior high, all that. His mom was a secretary at the college. And these guys were all expelled. By the way, they should have been from a Bible college, amen? That young man, who I played basketball with, the next day in chapel, I was hosting a young man. I was a floor supervisor, so one of my jobs was to host people that would come to the college. And we're sitting there in our chapel, and I think it was like a sorority chapel at that time. It was we were the Ewangalistis, and so we had all of us together, just all the fellas there. And this gentleman is sitting next to me that's visiting the college, and we're singing the song. And this young man that played on the basketball team with me is just kind of not paying attention. The young man preaching that day was the dorm supervisor that turned these guys in. And this young man is preaching and he's bearing his heart because everybody in the school knows. And he did not go into the story, but he just said it broke my heart. And he said, we need to be praying for these guys. And this young man who I play basketball with sitting in front of, I want to give his name because I've done it before, but I'm afraid someday I'm going to say this and somebody's going to know the guy. I don't want to do that. He said this while that man is preaching. He said, you should have kept your mouth shut. You should have shut up. He's saying that while this guy's preaching. Brother Commodore,
I've got a guy visiting the college standing next to me.
That young man preaching, listen, has just had his heart ripped out because he's had to turn into five of his friends and they're expelled from school. And this young man in front of me is saying, you should have kept your mouth shut. Shouldn't have said anything. Well, that's not true. We got this idea that's friendship. Friendship is doing what's best for the friend. It's trying to get them help, not covering their sin. This young man, he started mouthing off, and I reached up there and I said, hey, just like that, hey, keep your mouth shut. That's what I said. By the way, I did it in Christian love. Not really, I was ticked off. By the way, I think I should have said something. I have no problem with that. Hey man, if you don't say something, then you know what? The scorners go on and on and on, and then the simple will follow them. We don't want that. So I said, hey, shut up, man. He did what he was supposed to do. Well, it got over, and pretty soon I was mad at him, and he was mad at me. And you know what? We just kept going on and on and on. And there wasn't a problem that I said something to him, but here was the problem. The problem was every time I saw him, I wanted to punch him in the nose. I don't mean the next time I saw him, every time I saw him. And the problem wasn't what I would have done to him physically. The problem is what was taking place in my heart. Standing up for right is one thing, but becoming bitter in my heart. You know what? Me being bitter didn't hurt him once. It was eating me alive. And I went, at the end of the school year, I went home and the Lord smote me the very first week I was at my home church. The Lord smote me and He said, you know what? You need to love Him. The Bible says we're supposed to love our enemies, let alone be good to the people who are saved. Amen? Amen. So I got on my knees that day in the service. And I tell you what, it was the toughest prayer I ever prayed. I said, dear God, help me to love this guy. And I went back to my pew and I said, dear God, help me to love this guy. And I got up the next morning, dear God, help me to love. That night, dear God, help me to love. The next day, dear God, help me to love. And I tell you, I must have prayed that, I don't know, 100, 200 times that summer. Dear God, help me to love them. Dear God, I apologize. The bitterness in my heart was not right. Dear God, help me to love him as a child of God. That next year, we walked onto campus, and I was nervous about one thing. What's it going to be like when I see him the first time? And I walked by and he was walking with his girlfriend and they were walking this way from the main hall and I walked by and I said, hello, hope you had a great summer. I just kept on going. Boy, I didn't even want to punch him. Actually, went pretty good. And then I just kept being nice to him, not like overly, you know, juicy and weird, but just, hey, good to see you. You know, some of that stuff gets really weird, you know. But no, just being good to him. All of a sudden, word got back to me. And this gentleman had told his girlfriend and several other people, boy, something's changed in Tom. Amen. Now, here's what I'm thinking. I started to have this evil little thing that worked its way up. You're the one that needed to get right, not me. That's not how it worked. Amen. That young man and I ended up going on, not being close friends, but we became friends. And that young man eventually got his heart right with the Lord. And you know what? Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, these people have listened so very well. Dear God, tonight, I pray that a Holy Ghost revival, Lord, of being good to people would take place. Lord, I'm sure that this church didn't need this message as much as I did. Lord, and Lord, I pray tonight that Lord, You'd help us, Lord, to decide to be kind. Lord, that You'd help us tonight to decide to love. Dear God, You'd help us tonight to find out God's people. And Lord, to love them and care for them. Lord, whatsoever we would that men should do to us, even so, Lord, should we do to them. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, preacher.
Head your bowed eyes are closed. Why don't you do some business with God tonight? Let's all stand. Nancy, play the Spirit of the Living God, Fall Fresh on Me. Give me the number that way, please. How am I? 110. Folks, take your songbook, 110. Just like this morning. Get your songbook out. Start singing. God speaks to your heart, and I'm sure He has. Put that songbook down and just come forward. Bow up here. Pray to God. I'll tell you what. You've heard me tell the time about that kid that was in college. Did the same thing to me. Just about ruined me. About ruined me. That bitterness. Finally, I had to pray for him. He never did get it. But I got it. I got it. All right, Nancy.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Sing it again. God's speaking to your heart tonight. You better come. He comes in a still small voice. Everybody says He comes with the rushing wind, no. The thunder, no. Still small voice. There's something in your heart, something in your life. You need to take care of it tonight. I tell you what, bitterness will kill you. It'll kill you. It's worse than a cancer, the Bible says. So why don't you come? Just kneel up here with the rest. Get it over. Get over it. Let it go. Just get it over.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. One more time. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of
that's your prayer tonight. There's a lot of people that are miserable. A lot of people are fighting, people that don't need to be fighting. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power of the air. There's so many times people take something out of you. A while back, there were some couple things that happened, and it grieved me. And I couldn't believe that folks would do something like that. It just grieved me. And I'm as human as you are. And I thought there was some advantages taken. And I read my Bible. That's good once in a while, you know. And I found that scripture. And you heard me preach it a couple years ago. That's how God knows that I'm a Christian. That's how God knows that. That's how people know that I'm not a Christian, the way I treat my brothers and sisters. And Job meant so much to me when I was going through that time. His three buddies who never spoke to him for 7 days, probably it's a good thing they didn't, because when they opened their mouths, they really caused a lot of trouble. But God would not give him the double he promised to him to until he prayed for those men. I'm always amazed that when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's not a person that asked for forgiveness of what they did to our precious Lord, but he forgave them anyway. What a challenge to us. Amen? All of us, if we're human, have people that disappoint us. We have people that hurt us. We have people that say things about us. The problem is, people say a lot of things about me that's true. I just don't want to hear it. Y'all have that problem. And you just got to give it to God. I made a list of people that had, I quote unquote, did me wrong through my 45 years. I've been pastoring 47, but about 45 years, about 2 years ago, I made a list of people that had caused my family really heartache. And really did some bad things and said some bad things and accused of bad things. And I wrote a list of those people down. And if you want to see it, I'll show it to you. No, you don't want to see it. But anyway, I wrote a list down and I try to pray for them. Every time I go to prayer, I name them. I said, "God bless those people. God bless that people." I took one off about a year ago. He died. And I said, "Lord, you know, bless his wife." I got enough trouble. I don't need to worry about other people's troubles. I don't need to be holding that junk because God won't hear me. I don't want that to happen. And I've seen some real blossoms in some relationships that if I kept feeling the way I did, I don't think the blessings of that relationship would be back intact. And you got to be so careful. Satan is so deceiving. He is so quick. He is so brilliant. He just knows how to work the system, doesn't he? Paul the Apostle said the things that take us so easy, we are so easily beset. And I say this many times, Lord. I said, "Lord, I'm so easily beset by Satan, by the things that come into my heart and my life that just drive me crazy because I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to act like that. I want to be like Jesus." And I don't know if we'll ever get it or not. You know, I've been preaching for 47 years. I don't know if I'm going to get this. But I'm trying. I really am. I'm trying. I go to God all the time about it. I say, "Dear Lord, help me to be a better husband. Help me be a better dad. granddad. Help me be a better pastor. You know. That's what I want to be. I just want to live for God. I know the battles are there because all of us got a battle. You ain't going to get out of it, whether you like it or not. It's always going to be a battle. And Satan knows what so easily besets us. He knows that. He knows that. And so, but praise God, greater is he within us than he that is in the world. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, you know, some things come into my mind. That's not Satan, because he can't be inside of me. That's me. That's devious me. That's that. I was born in sin. And sin so easily besets me. And don't you look at me like with all your phylacteries and everything on you, you wonderful, godly person. You're a liar. All men are liars. Now, we want to, because we're that, we want to keep it all in check. Amen. And I find this is bothering me. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to get rid of it. It's going to get out of my life. But all of us got problems. If you just figure that out. So be kind to everyone for everyone is in a battle. You may not be perfect today, but tomorrow you might be. And then the next day you'll dump it again. I mean, just... be good. Thank you, Brother Lamont. Thank you so much for coming. You may be seated. We're going to take an offer, love offering, Brother Lamont.